chick, and a hush fell over the room. My mic wasn't on. My timing was going to be much better, but it wasn't. Stand with me. Welcome. Welcome. If this is your first time to Christian Fellowship, welcome. We're so glad you're here. We're going to praise and worship our Lord. We're going to thank Him for His goodness and the peace that comes from just being in His presence and walking with Him. God, be glorified in all that we say and do as we lift our worship to You. It's in Your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. been so faithful.
Lord Jesus, we thank you today. We thank you that your word says that we can freely come to you. Lord, that we can come before the throne of grace with boldness because of your sacrifice for us. Lord Jesus, let us never forget it's true. Let us never forget our need for you and that you have promised to always be there for us. God, we love you. We worship you and give you the praise that only you deserve today. We lift you up together as we should and one day as we always will. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You guys, some of you didn't think we could still kick it old school like that, did you? Amen. Be seated. That's right. That took me back to my choir days. I mean, you guys remember singing those hymns, and then especially in that key change that took it just out of where I could hit it, right? Comfortably. And that was before my voice dropped. But I love singing the hymns. The music may change, but the truth never does, right? The truth never does, and it's good to remember. Welcome to you this morning. It's good to see you. It's good to see you, Jordan and Brandon. It's a small electrical fire. Don't worry about it. We'll have it taken care of in no time. Welcome to you this morning. We're glad that you are here to worship with us. If you are a guest this morning, we are especially thankful that you are here. Thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. We'd love to be able to get connected with you. We can do that either by you filling out one of the cards on the seat in front of you, the New Here cards, and you can put that in the offering bucket as it comes by, or connect with us in the lobby after the service at our New Here Sable. We have a gift for you and just would love to be able to connect with you and know that you are here today. I'm going to ask our ushers to go ahead and come forward so that we can continue to worship the Lord with our gifts as we do, giving a portion of what he's given us back as we continue to worship him. If you are a guest here with us today, please do not feel that you are under obligation to give. We do this freely and most of the time cheerfully, as the word says, as part of our worship to the Lord. So pray with me, if you will, for today's offering. Father, again, we thank you for what you have given us. We thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for waking us up and getting us here, Lord, giving us the song in our heart that we give back to you. Lord, we worship you. Take these gifts and use them to multiply your kingdom as you will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, the Broadways are on vacation today, and you know what that means. It means I get to talk freely, so which is good. All right. So we have a few announcements today. First of all, I want to remind you, and Pastor Corey talked about this last week. We started on Saturday night, but this weekend is the National Weekend for Faith in Blue. We hosted the event here last night. The same event will be hosted tomorrow night at Paris New Generation Church at 6 p.m. It's a chance for the community to connect with our police department. Chief Salter will be there. He will be speaking on some issues that are going on in our community. There will be a question and answer time, and it's a great chance to get connected. Honestly, for you guys, for us, as we like to fellowship and with PNG and spend time together, if you haven't been to PNG, it's a great time to go out tomorrow night to PNG and be in their church and be with their folks. I was there at 8 this morning. Pastor Shannon told them, we don't like for people to come to our house and us not be here, all right? So they're coming. You guys can go too. It's the same meeting, and we encourage you to go out tomorrow night, 6 p.m. to PNG, and be part of that event. Also, some things we have coming up. This week is the second Tuesday, so this is our monthly time on Tuesday night that our church is responsible for restocking the shelves at the downtown food pantry. Very important ministry in our community. They've really been just continuing to serve and serve more families. The numbers have gone up since I was there regularly, and so they're very busy. They serve on Tuesday in the afternoons, and then they have to get those shelves refilled so they can serve again on Thursday mornings. And so if you have been part of that, or if you haven't been part yet, you just show up at the downtown food pantry at 6 p.m. It's a great ministry to the community. It doesn't take that long. It's a fun thing to do together. It's very family friendly. If you got your kids, take them too. They can be part of it as well. We have lots of opportunities to serve. Pastor Brandon asked me to remind you that out in the lobby, we have our serve table. He is going to be out there. He's not going to let you leave the building until you stop. And so you might as well stop. There's lots of opportunities for you to serve here in the church as well as out in the community. And so that's part of who we are. That's part of being disciples. Always has been. Always will be. And so we're home with him. And so we appreciate you taking the time to consider how God may want you to serve him in this community. Last of all, I want to remind you that the Festival of Pumpkins is coming up. We are running the kids' games, and so I've got three words that you need to know. Candy, candy. More candy, okay? Just so you have a bit of a scope of this, okay, our Pumpkins in the Park event last year was fantastic. We had hundreds of people come through that event. We had an amazing time giving away candy and blessing the folks in our city last year. This year, we are running the children's games at the Festival of Pumpkins during the festival day. Last year, there were about 11,000 people at the Festival of Pumpkins, and so this is a huge event, a huge opportunity for us to serve the city and serve our neighbors and connect with them. So we need lots of candy. The box is out in the lobby. It'll be here for a few weeks. So as much as you're able to contribute to that and just be a part of that event, not only with the candy, but we hope you'll sign up and come out and run games with us that day and be a part of doing that too. Super, super things to do and super weather to do it in, right? Thank you guys for being here today. Let's just continue to worship, and please, we'll just welcome Pastor Corey to the stage.
Oh, there it is. Whew. I got scared for a second. My next words were uncertain. Will Walker, we love and miss you, if only because you put this out every Sunday, and then we forget when you're not here. Guys, I want to throw out a quick special prayer request. I received a text message yesterday morning from my sister. My sister is currently teaching at Jerusalem College. She is currently actually on campus in Jerusalem. And received a text message from her yesterday that they were all hunkered indoors. Everything was fine, but this was the closest that they had ever heard or seen. She's been over there now for 4 or 5 years. I was looking to my wife to tell me how long my sister's been there. 4 or 5 years, and she said this is definitely the worst, the closest that it has gotten. Just for me, if anything else. Y'all be in prayer for what's going on over there. Our hope is not in a situation or even an outcome. Our hope is in God, but we can still pray and believe. So in the meantime, in the interim, if y'all will join me in praying for my sister and for Jerusalem, I would greatly appreciate it. Over the past few weeks, we've been in this series, Rise Up, A Simple Seed of Faith. I tried to lay groundwork just on the simplicity of faith over the first couple messages, but then from there, it's been just these little seeds, these little nuggets. Last week, I in my haste to finish the service because we were already going long, I didn't spend enough time just on giving you that one little seed. It really is simply pray for peace. In the situations you're going through, in the circumstances you're praying for, pray for peace. Now, you're not praying for the circumstance, you're praying for peace here. You're praying that the Spirit of God would be able to just rest upon you in that situation. You're praying for peace. So don't pray until the situation changes. Pray until peace comes. Peace is yours. Peace is yours no matter what the situation is. You just need to pray to him that he would provide you with his Spirit, his peace to lead and guide you through it. That was just last week's little seed, little nugget. Today, I want to talk a bit about holding on to hope in the middle of what can seem, what can look like, what can appear to be a hopeless, broken world. Let's do this. Stand with me as I read. I'm going to be reading in Romans chapter 8, and this is a powerful, powerful scripture, and we're going to read the backstory. I'm going to talk about it here in just a little bit, but stand with me as we read the Word of God. It says this in Romans 8, starting in verse 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor any height, nor depth, not anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Will you bow your heads with me real quick? Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for your word, Lord God. And right now, I pray that we would be able to find hope. Even this morning, even in the midst of hopeless situations, even in the midst of circumstances that we've washed our hands of, Lord God, I pray that today that we would recognize, that we would see, that we would hold on to your hope, even in the midst of a hopeless world. It's in your name that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. All right, sit down, sit down, sit down. Turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, you look pretty good today. Turn to your other neighbor and said, there's a reason why I said them first. Hold on. All right. Today, I want to talk about hope. If you've ever found yourself saying, what's the point? What's the use? I started a lot of the pulling together of this whole message based a lot on last week's seed and then as well this week's seed. There's so many friends that I have that are currently just in what feels like hopeless situations across the board. How do you maintain hope in a world that seems to be hopelessly broken? First, because we need to clarify, hope is simply the person or thing in which your expectations, your dreams for the future are centered. It's the person or thing that you place your trust in. Hope is the thing you lean into. Your hope can be a relationship. Your hope can be in your job, in a company, in a certain stock, your profession. Your hope can be in your own abilities, maybe even your own looks, your achievements. We've all centered our expectations on something. I heard a pastor once give an illustration, and I asked Jordan and Brandon to help me out this morning. I quite honestly thought that they would be able to walk out here like right at the end of everything Greg was doing, put it up. He'd be able to walk up, walk down, and then walk right out, and it would just be kind of that quick and done. I didn't recognize they'd be coming out in the very middle, and then Brandon would be up the ladder going, oh, what do I do now? He's not going to be done. I once heard a pastor give this illustration, and he said this. He said, hope is a lot like a ladder that we lean on a wall. Hope is a lot like a ladder that we lean on a wall. But the difference, and the very interesting difference, is with hope, none of us are really ever conscious of the lean the ladder process. Let me give you an example. When you were born, you leaned your ladder into either parents or a caregiver. Your hope for your future had everything to do with their willingness, their ability to take care of you. Then, along the way, again, not consciously, not something that we necessarily chose to do, but along the way, what happens, you become older and you move your ladder. For some, you move it from someone's commitment to you now to your commitment to yourself, what you can do, what you can achieve. Maybe you lean that ladder into, this is the school, this is the profession, this is what I need to do, this is my goal, my process. Along the way, as life shifts, that ladder becomes different locations that we lean into, we place our hope into. But because we're unaware of that process, we tend to go through life unaware as well of what it is we're hoping in. There's no real cognizant thought towards what it is we put our hope in. So the only time, truthfully, that we think about hope is when we begin to feel hopeless. When that wall starts to crumble, starts to shake, maybe even falls. It's those thoughts that cross your mind, those hopeless moments when you say, we were going to have children by this time and it hadn't happened. It's the thought that says, I'm still single at 30 plus. It's the thought that says, my kids will never. It's these moments of worry. It's these moments of doubts. It's simple moments. It's deep, big moments. But it's the hopeless moments. You see, you and I go day to day with our ladder leaning on something, and yet, for the most part, you and I are oblivious to what we're leaning our ladder into. Until that ladder starts to weaken, starts to crumble, starts to fall apart. Doesn't come through. It doesn't hold up. It's then in those moments that we begin to think about hope. So then how do you maintain hope in a world that you and I know is hopelessly broken? I'm a pastor, so obviously I got to give you the scripture, right? I mean, this is the part that you expect. But I pray you hear this differently than just the cliche answer. In scripture, we're instructed to place our hope in God. Scripture teaches us that we're to lean our ladder, put our hope and our trust into God. That's moving it from the wall of, well, if I save enough, or if I invest it right, or if I raise my kids right, then. It's moving the ladder from that into, I'm placing my hope, my trust in God. But we have a hard time. We have a hard time with this. We have a hard time with the idea of putting our full trust, our full hope in God, and I'll tell you why. It's very simply because you and I, we make good walls. We do. I mean, we make good walls. They're not necessarily great walls. I'm going to prove to you here in a second that your wall will crumble. It will fall. But we make good walls. And so in the process and the thought of, well, I can do this, we miss out on the fact that we can't do this. See, God warns us in Scripture, and if you've lived life at all, then you know that it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how careful you are. It doesn't matter how well connected you are. You see, it doesn't matter what you own or what you know. You can be careful. You can save. You can set aside. You can do everything right. And you will realize one day that still nothing is secure in this world. God says, you can do all those things. I'm not saying those are sin. We'll talk about that too. But you can't place your hope in those things. In Romans 8, it's confusing. In Romans 8, Paul simply explains, but very unsimply, where our hope should be. But more importantly, along with that, what he does is he begins back in verse 20. And back in verse 20, what he does is he explains the futility of our efforts to lean our ladders against different walls. Our abilities to control or predict the future. And then by the end, he comes back around and Paul shows us why it is so important that we lean our ladder on God. Paul begins, he begins in verse 20, and he's going to draw on an event that happens in Genesis. We refer to it as the fall of man, when sin was introduced into the world. And for most of us, when we think about sin, when you and I think about sin, we think about an event. We think about an occurrence. We think about a thing, typically. People will often ask me, Corey, Pastor, That's when you know it's getting deep. Do you think such and such is a sin? And usually, not all the time, usually they're just wanting to know whether or not they can do it. Here's the thing about sin. We think of sin often as something we do, but the Bible views sin as so much worse. The Bible tells us that sin is both toxic and fatal. You see, the Bible teaches that sin is a disease that, when introduced, attacked everything in all of creation. A disease, a fatal disease that impacted everything. So that's, yes, all of creation, but with that, that's your relationships. That's you, that's your life, that's your relationship with creation. That's every aspect of everything. When sin was introduced, it was a disease that started spreading, that started filtering, that started making its way into everything. You may say, Corey, what are you talking about, a disease? The best way to describe it is we all know, we all recognize that as sin is infiltrated everywhere, and this may be where you don't understand, but as sin is infiltrated everywhere, everything eventually dies. I mean, none of us argue that. We all recognize that as truth, and you may say, well, Corey, that's just the circle of life. I mean, that's just the way it works. But Scripture teaches us, Jesus said it, and you and I know that everything in the world dies ultimately because sin polluted, corrupted everything. That's the basis for Paul's argument going forward. That's the basis of what Paul is now getting ready to explain to you about hope in a hopeless situation. In verses 20, I want to pick up in verse 20, Paul says this. He says, for the creation was subjected to frustration. Man, how many of you have ever been frustrated? If you don't raise your hand, you're going to frustrate me. Come on, how many of you have ever been frustrated? We're frustrated, very simply, because of the crippling disease of sin. The reason your experience in this world can be so frustrating is very simply, it's those moments where you're like, well, why won't this happen my way? Why won't people see me for who I am? Why won't my kids do what I tell them to? It's the frustrating moments of life. And in those moments, we read, for the creation was subjected to frustration. And Paul is saying, when sin entered the world, its impact touched everything. It corrupted everything. For the creation was subjected to frustration. Listen here. In hope, is our word, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated, notice future tense right here, from its bondage to decay. That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. What's bondage to decay? Come on, you know this one. You know this one really well. You look in the mirror and you recognize bondage to decay. I had the beautiful blessing of coming back from a vacation. My wife and I went to Colorado. And when you're in Colorado, everybody there, they smell worse than you. They don't shave worse than you. So you can just kind of relax and hang, and it's great. It's really nice. I still shower. They don't. That's me. But in that process of in Colorado, I wasn't grooming. I wasn't shaving. I didn't care about it. My son ended up joining while we're on vacation. Whole nother story that I will save for another Sunday's topic. My son ended up joining football while I'm on vacation. God bless. So me and Melissa, who had planned this nice leisurely trip to come back in on Friday, realized my son is now playing on Thursday. Let's get back. And so in my haste, in my drive, in my unshaven, unkept state, we flew into Paris, Texas, and went straight to a football game. My daughter, my youngest daughter, who now hasn't seen me in a week and a half, 2 weeks, like, I know she's going to be elated to see Papa. I see her come in. I see her head turn. She sees us. I see her turn and start running, sprinting up the bleachers. She's got to do the little jig and the jag and make her way up, and she starts sprinting all the way up. She gets right to the bleacher in front of me and just stops. Goes, Dad, you've got two white hairs just coming out of your eyebrow. They were white. I mean, like, that was the first thing she saw, were these two eyebrows just going, pew! Bondage of decay. God bless. Thank you. Thank you, daughter of mine. It's kind of funny. Kind of. And it's not very encouraging. But listen here, guys, this is the case that Paul is building. We know it, we understand it, but you need to recognize it's not just your body, but everything is decaying. That's your relationships, that's your wealth, that's anything you build, that's everything. Everything is in bondage to decay. We fight it, but God's word says, Paul says, and you and I know from experience, when sin entered the world, it messed up everything. It touches everything. We live in a world that's in bondage to decay, simply because sin touches everything. Wow, Corey, glad this is a happy message today. I want to harp on that part specifically because I want to drive this home. Here's the thing that you must recognize. The truth is, even though you and I know this is true, we know that we're in bondage to decay. We recognize it. We see it. We understand it. We know it. But even though we know it, we don't live like we understand it. You see, the reason that we lean our ladders up against the wrong wall is because we think that we can beat the odds, that we're different. That somehow what we believe, that what we're doing is actually different than what the rest of the world is experiencing. No, Corey, I've worked the numbers. I've run it. I've done this. I've done that. I've worked it all out. I can lean my ladder here. And we don't recognize, we don't understand that we're just simply not believing the truth. And Paul's saying, before I get to the good news, you and I have to embrace the bad news. There's no way to beat the odds. The creation, which is all of us and everything around us, including space and time, is in bondage to decay. Yes, look, this isn't mopey Sunday morning. Yes, we have happy birthdays. We have beautiful experiences, moments, mountaintops that we remember forever. But ultimately, you and I know that everything around us is moving towards decay. That is the frustration that Paul is getting at. That mindset of what we know to be eternal versus what we recognize and what we see as a wall that we can lean on. In verses 22 through 23, Paul says, this tension creates in us a longing for something more. This idea that everything around us ends up crumbling, it creates this tension, this desire that there must be something bigger, there must be something better. It creates this moment within us that looks upward, this tension that creates a longing to look beyond this life. To look beyond this life to maybe where a world where there is no more crying, no more sorrow, no more suffering. No more pain. It's this tension that creates this buildup within our lives. It forces us to look outside of this life. And then in verse 24, Paul says this, for in this hope, what is he talking about? He's talking about the hope that there's more to this life than just this life. For in this hope, we were saved. When you believed in Christ, you believed in a bigger, better story with a much better ending. It's an ending that goes beyond this life. That's the hope that you and I were saved to. Then in verse 25, he says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, that is what we're all doing, we're all hoping for what we do not yet have. There's got to be more. There's got to be a place where sorrow and death are erased. There's got to be a place where the hurt of losing mom and dad is not there every day. That's one of mine, and yet I know everybody in here has theirs. Those moments where you can recognize at that moment, I lost a little bit of hope. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. I can still remember the cries I had as my dad was passing from cancer. One of those moments that was elongated, and I couldn't get a why from God. He wasn't answering at that time. He did. I just wasn't hearing. But I did. In those moments, I cried out. I questioned. I questioned hope. I mean, this was my dad. This was my rock. It hurt. And then it was 2 years later, almost to the day that mom passed from cancer too. God bless. That put a whole new spin of crazy worry thought in my mind. More hopelessness. There's moments where you and I go through struggles. We go through hopeless situations where we look at the circumstance and we just paint it all over ourselves. But if we recognize where our hope lies, if we recognize that we can lean our ladder somewhere else, if we truly believe what it is that we say we believe, then in those moments, we are going to have to wait patiently. Why? Because my hope isn't here. My hope is in what's coming. In other words, what I'm saying is we don't give up hope even when everything around us seems to fail. Because our hope is not in this world. Our hope isn't in this life. Paul says you have to wait patiently. But even better, you have something to wait patiently for. Verses 26 through 28, Paul writes that, and this is so beautiful, Paul writes that God understands your frustrations. God understands your disappointments. God understands that we often place our ladder against walls that will fail. And he understands that in those moments, there's disappointment, there's hurt. And sometimes in those moments, you can't do anything, say anything, but just groan, just hurt. And God says he understands that. That his spirit prays for you. That his spirit prays for you and prays for you with words that just can't even be uttered. Groanings. If you've ever been in a moment of despair, of hopelessness, you know what it's like to just moan because the hurt is so deep. And God right here says, I understand that. I understand that this world can seem pointless. And then, skipping down to verse 31, Paul writes and says, what then shall we say in response to these things? What then shall we say in response to these things? So even though the world itself burns down around us, where is our hope? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now, when the world's burning down around you, somebody saying, if God is for us, who can be against us, is a little simplistic. And sometimes we just skip right over that. We don't get it. All right, God's for me. Who can be against me? And yet. So what does he mean with the simplicity of if God is for us? Think about this. He continues on and he tells us. He says, he, God, who did not spare his own son. He, God, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How then will he not also, along with him, the gift he's already given you, the grace that's already extended to you, how then will he not graciously give us all things? The point being, as you center your expectations on his love for you, as God becomes the focus of your hope, that's where hope doesn't disappoint. That's where hope springs eternal. Jumping down to verse 38, Paul writes this. He says, for I am convinced. This is Paul. This is Paul. Paul's been, they threw stones at him and left him for dead. They thought he was dead. That's the only reason they stopped wasting stones. Stones aren't expensive. Like, you know, at what point can you not just throw a couple more to make sure? They thought he was dead. They stoned Paul. They arrested Paul. They took Paul into prison. Paul was shipwrecked, I believe, three different times. Bitten by snakes, deadly poisonous snakes. I mean, like, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Paul is a guy that experienced, I would say, the worst that religion had to offer. As a Christian, as a convert to Christ, Paul was the one who experienced the worst that religion had to offer outside of Christ. And here's what Paul says, for I am convinced. I'm convinced that not even death or life, not even the power, the magnitude of angels or demons themselves coming down, nothing in my current world, nor nothing that I could even envision might possibly happen in the future. No power, no height, no depth, nothing. And so with that, what we get to do is we get to fill in the blank. That means not my divorce, not my abandonment, not my isolation, not my job loss, not my kids or this, not I'm hurting because, not the doctor's report said, not everything. Everything. For I am convinced that nothing will separate me from the love of God. You see, what Paul is saying is he wants you to put your hope in something secure. Paul wants you to place your hope in something that will not disappoint, something that you know will stand the test of time, something that's outside of even time. He wants you to hope in something that you can turn to every single time. But you're going to have to move your ladder. You see, if you want to hold on to a hope that remains, if you want to remain hopeful, then you're going to have to move your ladder. You're going to have to lean your ladder into a Heavenly Father who loves you so much. It's only there that you find enduring hope. As the I'm going to have the band's going to be coming up, and as well, listen, there's going to be some ushers, greeters. They're going to be getting up, moving out. I know some people think, oh my gosh, Bob's getting ready to beat me to lunch again. Let's go. People are moving to set up and serve and see you on the outside. So relax. They're going to be here well after you already get to lunch. And with that, they love me. Where have you centered your expectations? in your life, in your circumstances, in your situations, in your relationships, in your job, in your lack of a job, where is it that you have centered your expectations? If they're anywhere other than in your relationship with God and His love for you, then I'm telling you today, your hope is misplaced. If your hope is leaning on anything other than His love for you, then it's a hope that it's going to eventually disappoint. The only way to maintain hope in a hopelessly broken world is to simply move your ladder. Look, guys, it's a simple seed of faith. It doesn't seem like much. But the more and more I read through Scripture, that's just how easy God made it for us. It's you and I that complicate it. Only when you place your hope in His unfailing love, the unfailing love that was demonstrated in one very specific moment. One specific moment in history when Jesus Christ, God's Son, allowed Himself to be crucified. Declared an innocent man by the leaders, by the rulers of that day, and yet the people, the religious group, wanted Him dead. He could have spoken up at any time, and yet He chose instead to be crucified for your sins. For every time you look at Him and say, God, I'm leaning my ladder over here, will you bless it? For every time we look to anything else other than Him, He still did that for you. It's the beauty of the cross. And Paul says the beauty of that moment, what it does is it has the potential to seal in your eternity forever. That one moment in history has the potential to seal your hope for good. Paul says that cannot be broken. Regardless of what happens with our economy, regardless of whether you do the do's or don't do the don'ts or whatever, regardless of any of it, regardless of what other people do to you, you maintain hope in a hopelessly broken world simply by placing your hope in the unfailing love of God. What does that look like, Corey? Because that really just sounds like you can say it and not walk it. Watch this. It means very simply that you love like crazy, but when people don't love you in return, they don't love you back. You don't lose hope because your hope was never there in the first place. It means you serve. You serve like crazy, but when no one serves you back, you don't lose hope because your hope wasn't there to begin with. It means that you forgive. You forgive like crazy and you forgive again. And then when the benefit of forgiveness is not extended back, you don't lose hope because your hope wasn't in that situation to begin with. Do you plan? Yes. Yes, of course. Yeah. You plan. Do you have ambition? Absolutely. Do you leverage the talents and the skills that God has gifted you with? Yes, yes, and yes. Build things. Pursue progress. Do and set aside, save, do it all. Yes. But place your hope. But to place your hope in your work, to place your hope in your ambition or your discipline, to place your hope in your education, to place your hope in anything other than Him is to place your hope in something that will fail. Paul Paul says, live life as if this life is all there is, and love people like crazy, and do your best, and use your God-given talents to share his good news. Use your skills to accomplish everything that you can, but at the end of every day, you say, my hope, God, is in you. Not in the economy tomorrow, not in whether my marriage lasts, not in these situations that I find hopeless, Lord God, but my hope is in you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then everything will be added to you. Today, it's my prayer for you, for all of us, that as we continue to face uncertain times, that as the walls shake, ladders seem to fall, that you would be reminded that we were not supposed to put our hope here anyway. We pray for better. Yes, hopefully things get better, and hopefully things turn around, and we're going to continue to believe for such. But in spite of what happens, with nothing more than a simple seed of faith, our hope can remain strong. And you and I can rise up from hopelessness. And it's when you and I rise up from hopelessness that then, like our scripture, Exodus 34:10, the building scripture here says, and then the people will see the awesome work that I, the Lord, will do for you. It doesn't happen when you make all your money because you made the right decision over here. It doesn't happen when you drive the newest thing, or when you got the best job, or when your kids did this or did that, or it doesn't matter. Those are great. I'm not knocking those things. Those are great things. But at the end of the day, what do you place your hope in? Where do you put your heart? Where do you put your trust? Because the only thing unfailing is the love of a father who looked down and said, I love them so much that I'm willing to sacrifice. And Jesus gave up his life so that you might have eternal life. Guys, that's how you hold on to hope in a world that is broken. That's how you hold on to hope. If you'll bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word, for your truth, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord God, I pray right now. Even though I realize this is so much easier just to say and talk about rather than for us to walk out and do, Father, I pray that everybody here would recognize that all that's needed for abundant life is faith, a simple seed of faith. God, I pray today for the individual, the man, the woman, Lord God, that's suffering, feeling hopeless even now, right here this morning. For those that are tuning in online, listening in, Lord God, I pray for the marriage, Lord Jesus, the opportunities that they feel fell through, the job that was promised that now isn't, Lord God, all these things that we place our hope in, Lord God, I pray that even in these seasons of free fall, even in these moments of hopelessness, Lord God, that they would find the courage to move a ladder, to recognize that they can place their hope in your unfailing love. Father, I pray that they would be able to avoid the heartache that comes with hopelessness. But Lord, even if they can't, I pray, Lord Jesus, that they would recognize peace that heals a heart like no other and is only found in you, Lord God. Father, even as you cover us with your unfailing love, Father, I pray that we would choose to put our hope in you. Give us the wisdom, Lord God, to continue to look to you. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to take a quick moment before we leave and have just kind of a sacred moment with the Lord together. Can we do that? I also want to give an opportunity for those that feel a nudge to respond to the message. And so if you could, you know, in traditional fashion, bow your heads and close your eyes and just get real still for a moment. The good news of the gospel is that we don't have to climb a ladder to get to God. In all of your doings and strivings, this is love, that God sent his Son to the earth. Jesus came down the ladder. He is the ladder. He is the hope. He is the love. He is the joy. If what you have is not of love, it is not of God. Jesus, God the Father, loves you so dearly, so preciously. There's no great effort that you have to make to earn God's favor in your life. This is our hope, is in the love of the Father. He loves us. He loves you. And maybe you've grown up in church all your life and you've never experienced the good news of the love of God, and you want to experience that. Or maybe you're on a journey in your faith and you're not real sure about Jesus and God, and you want to respond and say, Jesus, I want that kind of love in my life. And so as you're thinking, as you're pondering there, if you want to respond to the message by saying, God, I want your kind of love in my life. I want my hope to be in you and in the good news, not in a ladder that I have put up to try to get to heaven, but I want my hope in something that's greater. Would you, with every head bowed, every eye closed, this is a response to the love of the Father. This is a response to say, Jesus, I need that kind of love in my life. Would you raise your hand? Nobody's looking around. I see those hands. I see those hands. Now I'm going to ask you to do something bold. This is not meant to draw attention to you, but it's meant for you to put some action behind your desire and for us to meet with you up here. And if I could get Carl Lewis and some of the prayer team to come up here with me. We want to pray for you before I dismiss everybody. And so if you raised your hand, would you kind of quickly get up and come up to the front, please? Would you just come forward and meet me up here, and we'll pray with you? I know this is not something we normally do, but you don't have to be embarrassed by it. Come on forward. No one's looking at you or looking around. Everybody's in their own moment. Come on forward. Amen. Amen. I'm going to give it just a little bit more time for those that responded and want to come up. And it's, look, I get it. If you raised your hand and you don't want to come up, I understand. It doesn't mean that God didn't see you raise your hand. But I do want to challenge you to take that step of faith. This is a safe place. This is a safe place to be. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father. All right, let's end this prayer time together as a community, as we're praying for those that are up here. Would you just kind of just acknowledge the person that's with you, next to you? We're together in this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your kindness and your mercy. I thank you that the love of the Father, you freely give it to us, that there's no condemnation, as Paul said in Romans 8, for those who are in Christ Jesus, that your spirit of life-giving peace and joy and love can well up inside of us as we go to lunch and as we live out our week this week, God, that we can act in love like you loved us. And we can lean on that love, not our own strength, not our own ladders, but your kind of love to bring the good news everywhere that we go. Father, I pray for every person in this room and that knows someone that's in a sphere of influence where there's some difficult things going on. And we ask that you would help us to be your hands and feet, instruments of love in those situations. God, if you're willing, fill us with your love so that we, when we interact with our coworkers and our bosses and our children and our spouses and our families, everyone around us, that the love of the Father would show in us because we've received and connected and believed in that love. We have hope in you, Jesus, today. We have hope for a great rest of the day. We have hope for a great week, even in the midst of all what is going on. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Y'all have a great rest of your week and a great lunch. I'm going to hang out up here if you want to come. Still need prayer for other things. We'll be here. But y'all go in peace.